Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. What are the qualities and character traits of those you consider to be your very best friends? Once in a while, as I read the Bible, suddenly there's a glimpse into God's heart for humanity. And today, we've come to one of my favorites as we near the end of our long journey with the old Jewish prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 66 verse 1 says, "This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Into my mind comes a picture of Almighty God sitting on his majestic throne in heaven, watching over all that is happening everywhere in the vastness of space, but with his feet touching planet Earth. What does the picture mean? I believe it means God has a very special love for our planet, among the billions of stars and galaxies he has created. The idea of Earth being God's footstool is not a derogatory term, nor should we feel shame or worthless, but rather, I envision God wants to be in constant contact with our planet and all that is transpiring here. As 8.3 billion people walk the journey of their lives, God is walking with us, fully aware of all that is happening in each of our lives. In fact, he's keeping each of us alive every moment. Occasionally, I'm asked these questions. Do you think God has created other planets, like Earth, which are designed to sustain some type of life form? Do you think God loves those beings as he loves us humans? And is it possible God has some system of sin redemption for those beings as he has provided for us through his Son, Jesus Christ? Of course, I have no idea. The Bible is the story of God's relationship with this planet Earth and our species of beings made in his image, humanity. God has placed a natural, inborn desire in every human being to search for, find, and know God and live in a relationship with God. That's why no group of people has ever been discovered anywhere on planet Earth at any time in history that did not have something they worshipped as their supreme being or ultimate power, God. Did you know that a new Mayan city was discovered a few weeks ago by a PhD student studying special laser technology which maps things either underground or under centuries of vegetation? Central to this discovery is a structure which appears to be a temple of worship. I'm including a link explaining this fascinating fresh discovery. In this closing chapter of Isaiah, God speaks to this natural desire in all humanity. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. Isaiah 66. God wants all humanity to be certain we understand that nothing exists without God's original creation, and all that God created, he did so according to his master design for our universe and our planet Earth. So, as mankind seeks God and then designs and fabricates images of God or structures designed for worship, God calls us to contemplate how finite and limited our very best efforts are compared to the unlimited imagination and creation capabilities of Almighty, Holy God. And then God makes this statement, which each time I have read it almost takes my breath away as I reflect on its significance. These are the people I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word. Isaiah 66, verse 2. There it is, one of the most profound statements in all the Bible. As God looks at the entire universe with billions of stars and planets, there is one which captures his attention, planet Earth. As God's eyes search every square inch of planet Earth, his heart is naturally drawn with special focus to people who have three specific heart conditions, three specific life characteristics. First, those who are humble. This is a singular, profound theme throughout the Bible, from beginning to end, almost every page, if not every chapter. God is attracted to humility in humans, and God is repulsed by human pride. God will bless humility and empower humble people to know Him, follow His guidance, and accomplish significant things. And God will oppose those with prideful hearts. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, Psalm chapter 25, Matthew chapter 23. Second, and contrite in spirit. Conviction in the human soul is part of the privilege of being created in the image of God. God is the author of what is right and wrong. That's morality, according to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19. Society can dull our God-given conscience and even tell and teach us that some things which God has declared to be wrong in God's sight are actually acceptable in human society and in rare cases to be honored and protected. The defilement of the sanctity of life by abortion would be one example. The defilement of the sacredness of marriage through adultery, divorce, abandonment, etc. would be another. But the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan and his dark kingdom, will seek to callous the conscience of every person and raise up alternative morality so wickedness will actually be honored. God looks with favor on the person whose conscience is tender and responsive to God's conviction of sin and wrong. When that response is in agreement with God's moral analysis, we call that confession, 1 John 1:9. And when that response rejects the sinful wrong, even if society affirms it, we call that repentance, Ezekiel 33. A person who is contrite in spirit is one who is very sensitive to the convicting work of the Spirit of God in their life, and they respond to God's conviction in a God-honoring manner. No excuses, no blame of another person or circumstances, but their response is with confession and repentance. Third, tremble at my word. God's word, the Bible, is the only God-authored book. God's words, read or spoken or sung, should awaken a response from humanity to whom God has spoken. Trembling at God's words suggests a great reverence and respect for God's word. Even more, it suggests a hunger for truthful and full understanding of what God intends for us to understand from His words. Finally, tremble suggests a holy fear of God, His judgment, and respect of the changes God's word might bring into our world and our lives. The contrary would be a person who flippantly reads God's word and disregards it, or ignores it, or maligns it, or sets it aside as unimportant, or worse, rejects God's word and chooses to live in opposition to God's word. Isaiah has received from God and written down for us many chapters of profound and very important messages. In this final chapter 66, God calls all humanity to understand our place in His universe and understand the relationship God has designed us to have with Him. This final and powerful statement calls us to align our hearts with the heart of God and live our lives bringing honor to our Creator and our Savior, God. These are the people I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word. And what, my Walking with Jesus friends, is your response to this statement from God, which closes one of the most significant books in all of the Bible? I urge us to spend some time reflecting deeply on this statement and all we've learned over the past several weeks in Isaiah as we worship with this song, and tomorrow we'll take another step forward on our journey with Jesus.